I'm Tony Allen, and my talk is how some things are up to us and some things aren't. More than 10 years ago, when I was still working at my bookstore in Barrington, I discovered a little white paperback with the title, Seneca on the Shortness of Life. Seneca's point was that contrary to popular opinion, life isn't too short. It's long enough if used well. Nature has given us time for the highest of achievements, but we humans do waste a lot of that gift. And he makes a broader point, the issue of dealing with things that are up to us. People don't think twice about wasting time, which they do control, which is up to them. They don't mind wasting time on pointless activities. Conversely, people become dependent on things outside their control, things that aren't up to them. And this leads to disappointment and grief. So, why did this get my attention? Here I am 10 or 12 years later. Let's look at our joys and sorrows moment that we just had. One of my great joys, is the good relationship that we have with our son, his wife, and their children, who are, of course, our grandchildren. My sorrow is a continuing estrangement by our other child. It's directed at our entire family, but much of it seems to be based on her perception that, as a father, I wasn't there for her. I can get very defensive about this, and of course it doesn't change a thing. So it was a great surprise to find that reading Seneca and others like him is a comfort. They talk about meeting a wide range of challenges, not just human relationships, but a wide range, running along a continuum that at one end might be the hurt of relationship gone awry, but continuing through many concerns, work problems, money stresses, health issues, or even concerns from reading the daily news. Seneca, who lived in the first century of the current era, AD as we sometimes say, he certainly lived through the usual human things. He had to deal with Emperor Nero, for one thing. He was a Stoic, and here I want to make a distinction between Stoic school of antiquity, I'll call it Stoic with a capital S, and the Stoic that we find in the dictionary, the Stoic with a lowercase s, the Stoic with the stiff upper lip, the suppressed emotions, probably great as a companion in a bomb shelter, but maybe not that much fun otherwise. Stoics of the ancient world worked at developing what they called the art of living. It's a phrase that appears frequently. They wanted to produce a way of life that was satisfying for individuals and beneficial to their communities. They first appear in ancient Athens, meeting at a colonnade known as the Stoa, S-T-O-A. But it's in Rome, centuries later, that we make the Stoics best known to us. Seneca was not only a philosopher, but he was advisor to an emperor, Nero, unfortunately. And he was a member of that socioeconomic 1%, extremely wealthy man. Epictetus, on the other hand, was brought to Rome as a slave. His name in Greek means acquired. He won his freedom and became a prominent teacher of the art of living. Marcus Aurelius was the great Roman emperor. A statue of him on his horse is at Brown behind Sales Hall. He's probably riding off to defend the northern frontier, which he spent a lot of time doing. But it's Epictetus who provides the title of my presentation. He's the one who said some things are up to us and some things are not. This is sometimes called the dichotomy of control or the Stoic fork. Things that are up to us by which he means things within our complete control, our complete power, are our thoughts, opinions, values, and beliefs. I think it was Marcus Aurelius who referred to this as the inner citadel. We all have that inner citadel. Some people call it a soul, and so forth and so on. But anyway, only we can change them. This is totally up to us. Not within our complete power are many things, actually everything else. The loud party that got louder after I went to bed the other night, the driver that cut me off on the highway, more importantly, my health. I can eat all the kale I want, still get hit by a car. My property, my friends, and family members. These are not under my complete control. Epictetus says, the biggest mistake we make is to think that things outside our control are under our control. If we think things outside our control are under our control, quote, we'll be unhappy, we'll be troubled, we'll find fault both with the gods and with human beings. But he has a solution. All we have to do is regard our own as being our own and make sure we don't think that we own what isn't our own. If we know this, if we really comprehend this, we'll be in great shape. Quote, no one will ever be able to harm you. No one will get in your way. No one will even annoy you. And you, in turn, won't blame others. You won't make enemies. You won't do anything you don't really want to do. So, we should learn to be independent of things outside our control. That's easy. But it's a tall order. Epictetus knew it was a tall order. All the Stoics did. It was so tall, they didn't expect anyone to really get there. But they did have a suggestion. Epictetus suggests work slowly toward the goal of reducing dependence on things outside your control. For example, this is Epictetus's example, not a very modern one. Don't get too worked up about the behavior of one of your slaves. So the slave spills some oil, or walks off with a bottle of your wine. Don't sweat the small stuff. Epictetus says, quote, just say to yourself, such is the price at which equanimity is bought. Such is the price that one pays for peace of mind, close quote. Stoics had no problem enjoying the pleasures of life, by the way. Health, wealth, friendship, love, reputation, good food, good drink. But not one of them is under your complete control. Any of them can disappear. And this former slave, Epictetus, says we shouldn't be enslaved by them. So if we aren't enslaved by them, we'll be free of the fear, anger, and despair that comes when they are lost. One of the most extreme examples of how this works is that of Viktor Frankl. He's the psychiatrist who survived Nazi death camps and then wrote about it in Man's Search for Meaning, still in print 60 years later and usually on anybody's list of the 100 best books of the 20th century. Another example is that of Rear Admiral James Stockdale. In mid-career, he was sent to Stanford University to study foreign relations. While he was there, he got talking to a dean who said, you know, you might be interested in this guy. And he pulled a book off the shelf, Epictetus. Later, in the Vietnam War, he was shot down from his Navy plane and held for 7 years in the torture camp known as the Hanoi Hilton. Writing about it later, in the book I have is Thoughts of a Philosophical Fighter Pilot, love the title, but in that book and other books, I guess, he always credits Epictetus with saving his life. So this brings me to the Stoic archer. There are many things over which the archer has control. He or she can select the right bow and the right arrow. He can practice diligently. He can strengthen his arms. He can control his breathing. And then he aims and shoots. At this point, no control. A breeze comes up. Something gets in the way of the arrow. The target moves. Whether the arrow hits the target is not up to him. But this archer is a stoic archer. He or she has prepared for this from the beginning because it's a part of this event that isn't under his control. Seneca makes a similar lesson in what is known as the Stoic Reserve Clause. Seneca says, "You should say to yourself, I will set sail unless something happens. My enterprise will be successful unless something goes awry." He goes on, quote, "This is why we say that nothing happens to the wise person contrary to his expectations. His first thought has been that something might obstruct his plans. So all this tells me to be clear about what I can control and what I cannot. To do my best," here's the archer, "to do my best, but be ready if I don't hit the target. And that if I hit the target, that I will hit the target," Seneca says, "unless something happens." So in the case of the estrangement in our family, how does this give me comfort? First, the Stoics tell me to remember that what is up to me is how I handle it, my thoughts, opinions, values, and beliefs. What isn't up to me is the outcome. And this is curiously optimistic. It means there's always something I can do. Since there is always something that is up to me, neither Viktor Frankl nor James Stockdale believe themselves to be without choice, even under the most dire conditions imaginable. There was always something up to them. So, in facing estrangement, or any of the myriad things that are going through anybody's life these days, in facing estrangement, once the arrow leaves the bow, the outcome is not up to me. What is up to me is to be a loving dad. The Stoic fork and the Stoic archer provide an approach to the art of living that is both rational, Stoics are big on reason, both rational and practical. This approach reduces our anxieties. It frees us up to do things that we can actually accomplish, to do things that are up to us. The Stoic asks us to examine every concern to see if it relates to things that are within our power. If it relates to anything that isn't, we should be ready to respond, "That's not for me to worry about. The outcome is not up to me. I'm not going to waste my time and energy fretting about it." And this approach goes further. The Stoics very much believed in many of the Unitarian principles, one of them being that we're all part of an interdependent web of existence. And they dare us to do things that are up to us, things that are within our power, and to do them now.